Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning in verse 14. This is Jesus telling a story to those who would follow him. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one, he gave 5 valuable coins, and to another, he gave 2, and to another, he gave 1. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability, and then he left on his journey. Now, after the man left, the servant who had 5 valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them. He gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 valuable coins gained 2 more. But the servant who had received the 1 valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 valuable coins came forward with 5 additional coins. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 coins. Look, I've gained 5 more." His master replied, "Excellent. You are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come and celebrate with me." A second servant also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 valuable coins, and look, I've gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, you are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come celebrate with me." Now, the one who had received 1 valuable coin came and said, "Master, I knew that you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown it. You gather crops where you haven't spread the seed. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here, have what's yours." His master replied, "You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest grain where I haven't sown, and that I gather crops where I haven't spread seed. In that case, you should have turned my money over to the bankers so that when I returned, you could give me what belonged to me with interest. Therefore, take from him the valuable coin and give it to the one who has 10 coins. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit they have will be taken away from them. Now take the worthless servant and throw him outside into the darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth." The word of God for the people of God. Why is nobody saying thanks be to God? Welcome to Stewardship Sunday, right? Now, the funny thing is, actually, I chose this text to go for this Sunday a long time ago when this wasn't supposed to be Stewardship Sunday. Rick Neal changed the date on me, so this is what we get now. You know, sometimes I wish that Jesus would come back. I wish that Jesus would come back in part so that we could all be taken up to glory, which I assume is a little better than the place we're sharing right now, but mostly I wish Jesus could come back so that he could explain these dang stories, right? Like, why is the kingdom of heaven like a weed, that mustard seed? Why is this kingdom of heaven like a treasure buried in the ground? Right? Why on earth would you leave the 99 sheep to go for the 1? And Jesus, please give us a word about these talents. Now, we're going to get into it, but before we get into this story, I need to remind you that parables, like the one we read today, do not have a meaning. Jesus didn't tell us these quirky stories so that we would kind of quote-unquote get them. These stories make us look hard into the hidden aspects of our values and our lives. They ask questions of us that we won't or are afraid to ask of ourselves, right? And by doing that, they reveal possibilities for life that you never thought to uncover. These parables are meant to provoke, to confront, to disturb, and by doing that, they may get you to see God in a new way. So, So what do we make of this particular parable? The situation on its face seems to be kind of plain. A man gives out some big fat coins. Now, each one of these coins, a talent, is worth approximately 20 years' worth of wages, right? Each one of them. So he gives these coins to his servants, and then he goes away on a long trip. Now, one of the servants buries the coin, and the other two make 100% return on the initial investment. So the plain reading of this story says that God is the master, the character in the story, and that God gives out valuable things. Now, not all of us get the same amount. Each of us gets something. God gives more to those who deserve more, clearly providing biblical justification for the vast wealth inequality that we saw in the video at the beginning of worship, right? And it's our job to turn whatever we get into more. It's like the hedge fund manager's parable, right? God wants us to make as much money as we can with what we're given, so surely God also wants us to keep the capital gains taxes low and keep the carried interest rate provision in the tax code and eliminate the inheritance tax, right? I mean, it's almost like this parable was written by Paul Ryan, right? So timely. Am I right? Well, maybe there's another way to read it. Maybe we need to read, first of all, in the context of Matthew's gospel. Because you remember, of course, in Matthew 19, when the rich young man comes to Jesus and says, I've got pretty much everything I need. Tell me how it is that I need to get into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus' response is, sell everything that you have and give all the money to the poor and then come and follow me. It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Or there's that part in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says pretty clearly, you can't serve two masters. There is no way to serve God and also serve wealth. Or then there's that crazy text in Matthew's gospel, the one about the sheep and the goats. And that one, by the way, is not about livestock at all. We'll talk about it next week. And some of you were here last week when Paige from this very place observed that Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel, the poor will always be with you, not because poverty is somehow natural or inevitable, but because in God's kingdom, which Jesus has come to inaugurate, the poor are welcome into the household. In God's kingdom, as Matthew describes it, the poor are not even poor anymore because the community takes care of their needs. You can try to read this parable as a divine economic plan that justifies giving the rich more and screws the weakest until they're homeless, but that reading would be diametrically opposed to the kingdom of mutual care and concern that is outlined in detail in Deuteronomy and Leviticus and the rest of Jesus' entire ministry. Now, I told you there's no right reading of the Gospels, no right reading of these parables, but there may be wrong readings. This story does not justify obscene accumulations of wealth. So if it doesn't do that, if that's not what it's about, then what is it doing? That's the question. Well, for one, consider that this master may not be God. We're always inclined to read the parables that way. But consider this. Now, the master does leave money with the slaves. That seems trusting and generous. And the master does give each according to their ability, which seems prudent. And generosity and prudence seem like divine qualities. But when this master returns from a long time away, he's spiteful. And it turns out he's a dirtbag. Right? He reaps money where he does not sow. He reaps where he does not sow, which means, like, imagine you planted a field. This is the guy who comes around and harvests your crops and takes them for himself. He shows no mercy when the third servant calls out his dishonesty. Does that truly sound like the God whom Jesus introduces us to? This guy in the parable is much more loan shark than loving creator. This master in the story may not be God at all. So if it's not a story about God, how is it a story about us? Maybe we ought to pay attention to the situation that these servants find themselves in. This master drops a vast sum of money into their hands. But then the master leaves them no instructions, no clue at all about what to do with these extraordinarily valuable assets. Is this a gift? Is it a loan? And there's no sense of when the master is coming back, if at all. So what would you do, I ask you? What would you do if you were in their shoes? Have you ever found yourself holding something of inestimable value? Something so unique and precious that it made you tremble just to consider it in your hands. Two of the servants went to work employing the treasure. But what about this third servant? This one is a hard case. Because in one sense, what he does is defensible, even dignified. He hides the master's money, knowing that it's ill-gotten wealth. It's dirty money already. And hear now what he says. Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. I was afraid. And so I hid. Now there's something. Which of you cannot remember a time when you had something in your possession of great value, and afraid, you took it and you hid? You once had something important to say. Something that if you had spoken it out loud, it could have changed. Well, we'll never know. Speaking was too scary. So you went and hid. You had something that someone else needed. But to give it, you would have had to go so far outside of your comfort zone. Rather than risk that, you went and hid. Or you had a calling that was placed on your life, a purpose that tied your gifts to your deep gladness, to the world's need. But you were afraid of what they would say, and so you went and hid. There once was a time when power and privilege around you was being used for evil, and you knew there was a different way, but you were afraid of becoming the target of that power and privilege, so you went and hid. There was a time, you surely remember, when darkness was spreading. And you had a light to shine. But you were afraid that people would see you. And so you went and hid. Jesus, when you come back, tell us about this story. Remind us that fear can make us take this great and beautiful and powerful thing that we are holding and hide it. Remind us that hiding, while it feels safe, leads on to lies and selfishness and punishment. What would you have us see, Jesus? That in this morally compromised world in which we live under an unscrupulous master. There is no script for what we should do. We don't know how long we have, nor what it is that we are called exactly to do. All that we know, Jesus, is that there are riches in our hands. Incredible riches. Who knows if these riches are ours to keep? But surely they are ours to use, to set free in this world. And while we don't know what exactly we're supposed to do, surely we can't go wrong, Jesus, if what we decide to do comes out of love for each other and for you. And we know that in this moment, being afraid is not an option.